harassment works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We progress to the final hour of the Paracast with Gene and Chris, Paul Budding, a new voice on the UFO scene, but obviously he's done a lot of research. Paul, just a quick question as we go on here. Personally, do you personally buy ET as the final answer for UFOs?
No, just a possibility. I was actually itching to come on to that, that sort of question, because I was wanting to say that the agnostic position isn't like a defeatist or a giving up position. It's getting us away from the ET living myth hypothesis. It's getting away from that rejection, the fascination and all, and thinking the ET must be the answer because that's what we want to believe and what have you. And so I think the agnostic position, at least, although it's not the fantastic answer to it, which would obviously be infinitely better than anything else, but it's a realistic position, and it's the one that is more scientifically credible, I think, taking us away from the living myth, as we called it in the paper.
It sounded like a no, Gene.
Well, it's a possibility.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being agnostic about the whole thing, because I think maybe one of the biggest problems we find in the UFO field is the fact that we go into it with expectations. We're looking for ET, let's validate it. And if we can sit back and go back and take a step away and say, we don't know what's going on, let's start from scratch and try to figure out what's going on. And if it's ET, so be it. If it's not ET, well, we'll look at what it might be.
And yeah, and it's the problem is, I think it's good to distinguish from people who are just interested in the fascination of the issue. It's people who are wanting to be objective about it. And moreover, it's not agnosticism a concern in, is something out there. I'm pretty confident that there's something out there that's seen that's intelligent craft. It's agnosticism about what it is. So that's a crucial distinction to make.
Yeah, you're agnostic about jumping to conclusions about what intelligence may be behind it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of, I think, sightings that are misconstrued as something intelligently controlled, possibly mechanical in nature, especially at night when you have craft that are lighted up. And, of course, my question's always been, why do they have to turn lights on, light themselves up like a Christmas tree and go sailing over the countryside? And that's never really made much sense to me. But, of course, there is an answer to that. If there is some sort of plasma cloud around it, it's going to be giving off some sort of light. So that could be one possible explanation. But I think most people, when they see something that they can't explain, I think that they, as you pointed out earlier, they tend to put the details of it into the experience and their memory of it based on their expectations and based on their you know, unwillingness to suspend their disbelief in many ways and just jump to a particular conclusion instead of being agnostic about it. But again, you know, we're kind of going around in circles here. I think hard data monitoring is the way to move this field forward. Getting some people that are in a position to fund projects such as this, get them involved, get them excited, invigorated by the possibility of discovery, and move forward and start collecting real hard scientific data, because the only way you're going to get scientists involved is if they have quality data that they can rely on to work with. So I think that is really important. Let's figure out what it is, as you point out in your paper, before we try to jump ahead and figure out who it is, what is behind the actual mystery. I'm off my soapbox now, Gene.
That's okay. So what's your response to that, Paul?
I don't disagree with anything I heard there. I also think, I was going to add before, that I think politicians would be forced to show the field respect if the field could show its difference from the myth, the living myth. But this would need serious physicists and technologists and so forth. They would need to come forward. And like I was saying before, people, not just the very top ones like Kaku, but people surrounding him that we haven't heard of, that sort of caliber people to come forward to endorse it. And I think they would, politicians would follow more the scientists. But at the moment...
Right. It's too toxic for politicians to address. Look what happened to Denis Kucinich in the last... the 2008 election when he was at the debates, and it had come out that, I think, who was it? Shirley MacLaine, Gene, that mentioned that Denis Kucinich had a sighting, and I think it was Chris Matthews popped a question at one of the debates, and everybody had a nice little chuckle at his expense. I think it's too toxic. It's a low-status subject. Anyone that professes interest in this subject, I think, politically, in a political arena, is really setting themselves up for a fall.
Yeah, so I think that politicians can't and won't come on to endorsing this subject until it gets scientific credibility.
That's why, for example, you won't have a situation like with Denis Kucinich. You know, he's thought of as being a crackpot anyway, even though, you know, he has a lot of things to say that a lot of people agree with. But they think of him as a crank. So they think of him as a crank. Well, okay, so Shirley MacLaine is a bigger crank. There you go.
Right.
Canadian ex-defense.
The crank factor.
There's a Canadian ex-defense minister's come out in favor of UFOs, isn't there?
Yeah, and Paul Hillier. Mm-hmm. He has. Of course, it's E.T.
Very few and far between. Not very many.
Ronald Reagan was very interested in the subject privately. Bill Clinton's very interested in the subject privately. Of course, Jimmy Carter actually came out publicly and professed an interest in the subject. Of course, as soon as he was elected, that he did an abrupt about-face on that one.
Isn't that the way it always
FEMA.
Goes?
It's a problem with politicians, though. I mean, in the UK, I can't think of any.
Right. Yep, that's true. There's... You're not going to get your average politician. I think the 10-foot pole that they're holding wouldn't even touch the subject, actually. It's toxic. Professing belief in a low-status subject like this is political suicide. And it's going to take a landing on the White House lawn to change minds and kind of make that a moot point, if you will.
Why should they land on the White House lawn?
Well, my answer is more scientific credibility would help. But like we were saying earlier, I think that the disclosure idea is a non-starter because they don't want to admit that they're important here. They don't want to admit they're clueless about what these craft are and at the same time have to admit what they have been doing regarding nuclear facilities, regarding... Virgin U.S. airspace and over Congress in the 50s, all this doesn't make any sense to admit that. So politicians that do see what's going on to a certain extent are still not able to come out and say anything about it.
You know, Claiborne Pell was one that professed an interest in the subject privately, and I think C.B. Scott Jones, his... I think ex-naval intelligence officer who was one of his assistants was very involved in the subject with the Peter Sturrock symposium, and I think he's working now with Carol Rosen trying to get a weapons space ban for space-based weapons. But it's gonna be a cold day in the Sahara before I think any politician comes out or. Like David Wilcock, who's one of our exopolitics-tinged guys here in the U.S., he made the big announcement that I think Barack Obama, and what was it, Gene, right around Thanksgiving, he's already bought airtime and all the networks and was going to come out with a hand-in-hand with an alien.
Right, but that's the latest of a long line of theories. We hear that every few months. Well, this president or the previous president... Or the next one will come out with a statement about UFOs, and this is when it's going to happen. And then it doesn't happen, but you always have the excuse, well, they changed their minds at the last minute. They decided not to have this revelation because of one reason or another, or E.T. phoned them before phoning home and said, hey, folks, you can't do that. We're not going to allow it. So sorry about it. Forget about it. There's always an excuse when it doesn't happen. No excuses. We have Paul Budding on the show. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the space age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safe-All natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special. Or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Paul Budding about new ufology. We're trying to get things off dead center here. Some people say the UFO field is toxic. I think I've said that, but a lot of people have said that. You're with Gene and Chris on the PowerCast. So I'll raise that question. Some people just are so disgusted with the infighting in the UFO field, with the fakers, the frauds. They want to give it all up. Do you think it's all worth it?
Well, it depends on the individual for that one. If they get something out of it, then it is definitely worth it. If they don't get anything out of it, it's not. I mean, when you look at some people who are mentioning Stanton Friedman, he's been working in the field for decades, yeah? Nick Pope in Britain, not for as long, but since the 90s, he seems to be very happy doing what he does. He goes on all the networks in the US, I think, not just in Britain, around the world, and I think he enjoys it thoroughly. Yeah, I think it's worth it for some people, but if you want a definite answer, maybe not.
Boy, that's hedging your bets there, guy. That was good, though. I like that. Gene, go ahead, ask me that question. You know what my answer would be?
The question is asked. What is your answer?
Hell no. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. That's why I've got a tar baby stuck to my face.
I think we have you in this chair, and we have the ropes around your neck. And if you give up the UFO field, we will pull the ropes, making them very tight. And soon you will cry, uncle, aunt, sister, brother, let me out of here.
You know what saves me, Gene? I'm an anomalist. I look at all sorts of things, not only UFOs. I cringe when people refer to me as a ufologist, and I very rapidly correct them. You can call me anything you want, even late for dinner. Just don't call me a ufologist.
Interesting question here I'll ask Paul about. Okay, do you have a day job?
A day job? Well, no, freelance writer, basically. So, is that a day job? If that's a day job, then yes. If it's not, no.
Okay, so you write about stuff other than UFOs?
I haven't published books, but there's these two Jungian-type book publishers that I've advertised in papers I write. So that's my main way of getting income.
Okay, so what got you involved in UFOs, this crazy quilt field?
Yeah, have you ever had a sighting? Are you an experiencer?
No.
Did E.T. come and visit you in the night? Or?
If I take it back to when I was at university studying social science, I saw Jung's books in the psychology section, bit by bit, looking into his books. It was like a combination of academic, which I was used to, and also that esoteric meaning side of life combined. And I think that the UFO thing that I'm doing now is similar to that. It comes out of that, really. It's like focus on it academically. It does also have, even for people who try to be objective about it, that feeling of meaning towards it. It's not entirely divorced. So that's why I got into the UFOs, because it's an interesting topic, basically. Very interesting.
Well, it could be, you know, paradigm-shifting, groundbreaking, I mean, if we do finally come up with some answers, which I don't think are going to happen in at least my lifetime, if we do come up with answers at some point, it's going to totally change everything. This could potentially be one of the most important subjects ever addressed by humans, especially if there is some sort of ET presence. Perhaps all these theories may have some truth to them. Perhaps we are dealing with time travelers, dimensional shifters, returning dinosaurs that became spacefaring. Maybe they're coming back and trying to reclaim Earth. There's so many possibilities, and this is such a complicated subject. I would be very surprised if a lot of these things were. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these things were going on simultaneously, and secret black aircraft, and collective unconscious projections of mandala images and. It's probably a huge potpourri kind of evil brew, some sort of soup that's bubbling over in a cauldron with all these different elements in it. That's the further along I get, at least, in this field, that's I have that suspicion more and more. Muff my soapbox again.
A lot of them are human technological control. Like, for instance, stealth that was... Well, when did that start? What, I don't mean when was it open. When was it when were they secretly flying... Along the desert somewhere. I think they started in the late 70s or 80s, and it was about a whole decade before they were announced, openly as a military craft.
So yeah, that's one of the examples I give, is if you saw a stealth aircraft in the late 80s, and you had your radio on and you couldn't hear an engine, you saw a UFO.
And there you go. I haven't seen a UFO, so I don't know. Paul, do you think you're going to be doing this 40 years from now? You're 37. When you're 77, you're still here, because people will be living forever when you're 77. Do you expect this will be all solved?
All solved? probably not.
One could only hope.
Because if the solution, if the answer was there are human technology, then probably not going to ever announce that. So that would be no. But if they are ET, that's probably no as well. So I'm very sceptical about it being solved in that sense. The best hope is not for disclosure from the president, though. It's from people like yourselves and others who might potentially be interested in this subject, realising there is something to it, and then looking into it themselves. And I think it coming from the ground up, I don't think it's a top-down solution. Not a top-down meaning, not top-down from the president to the public. I don't think it'll get solved that way. So on reflection to the question you asked, I've slightly changed it to if it was solved, it would be from the bottom up, from the public seeing that there is something to it. I mean, you need more people involved who are like Richard Dolan and so on. I mean, he spoke at Leeds Metropolitan University, which is very close to where I live. And I didn't realise that they would allow someone to come in and talk so openly about UFOs. You know, I didn't think that would happen around here. So I don't know if it's progress. I might be exaggerating there. Maybe it would have happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But as far as I'm concerned, that was a first for me.
No, that's progress.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak of US universities. You might have had ufologists coming in for years speaking there, but I was surprised. I wasn't there or anything. I just saw it on YouTube.
Well, what are some of the theories that you've kind of pondered and possibly even researched? I mean, do you have any pet theories that may be more, you know, more of the exotic pet theories as opposed to black projects or manifested psychisms?
A friend of mine's tried to convince me of artificial intelligence, combining it with a singularity theory of Ray Kurzweil, saying that these on other planets will be beings, you know, far ahead of us or what have you, who would have artificial intelligence by now. So these aren't ET's biological beings coming down all squishy. They're actually robots. It sounds just as bizarre as the original theory, though, doesn't it? That's the problem. I mean,
it actually makes more sense to me.
I'll tell you what makes sense, that we're talking to Paul Budding. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military wiring manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The main name in military supply.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We're back with Paul Budding. We're talking about the new ufology and where the field is going and how we can get the thing off dead center with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Chris, you want to pick up on this?
Yeah, I tend to think that some sort of robotic or a mechanistic pilot would make more sense because of the vast distances that these crafts would have to travel, and it would probably take quite a bit of time. Unless, of course, they have broken Einstein's, pretty hard, fast rule of the speed of light. Faster than light travel has been kicked around, but we do know that non-locality and quantum entanglement has shown that I think light particles can be affected in a faster than light manner. I think that's pretty much been proven, but to actually apply those pretty outrageous qualities, quantum qualities, to a physical craft coming here from some other star system, it almost negates a biological pilot, unless they were multi-generational pilots that were traveling here, and maybe the great-great-great-great-grandfather started out on the launch, and it ends up being one of the progeny, thousands of years later.
So you're not assuming they have warp drive and get here in 3 days?
Well, again, that's not, I guess, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but again, that's really in the realm of science fiction right now. We, right now, with our level of understanding, that's not a scientifically acceptable possibility right now, based on my understanding of it, but I could be wrong. Maybe there are some breakthroughs that have been made that haven't been divulged and made public. Maybe there is FTL, faster than light travel. I don't know, but as it stands now, I couldn't see how anything out there would think we were remotely interesting enough to come all that way to visit us and still be seen picking flowers and looking at rocks like they've never seen them before. You could throw something in orbit around this planet the size of a beer keg and find out anything you possibly want to know. So just the whole absurdity and the giggle factor, the trickster qualities of some of these pilots as they've been described, to me doesn't make sense. It doesn't jive with the concept of aliens coming here from another planet. I think we're, you know, like the guy, Agent Smith in The Matrix, when he said, humans are a virus. I think we're detrimental, and if they're interested in anything, it's the wonderful biodiversity that the planet has, and we're actually in the way. We're very detrimental to that biodiversity. We're losing dozens of species a year, probably, I think, a dozen a day or something. I forget what the figure is, but it's just, it's terrible. It's horrific.
Or so, E.T. seeded us here. They're just watching their creation.
Well, that's true. We could be like, alien ant farm.
That's
a possibility.
The trickster phenomenon you referred to, where these UFOs fly around, toy with pilots, that always sounds more human-like to me. But to get back to the artificial intelligence theory, that wouldn't require anyone on board, because according to Kurzweil's singularity theory, machines start to think for themselves. So the UFOs would be also the intelligence behind it. You know what I mean? There would be both the craft and the intelligence.
Oh, so they're self-determined.
Yeah, someone's tried to influence me on that theory. I haven't signed up to it fully, but it's just as convincing as any other for me.
Well, I like Terrence McKenna's theory that we already have aliens here, and they're called mushrooms, and they're here to help jumpstart consciousness, especially the magic mushrooms, the psilocybin, with the tryptamines, and that they were seeded here. And mushroom spores, of course, are one of the few life forms that can survive the vacuum of space and live millions of years in a vacuum and then actually become mycelia, you know, spring into action and become mycelia and then create more mushrooms. But I've always found that thinking very out of the box and very creative, that aliens are already here and they're magic mushrooms. I love that. It has a ring to it. I don't know. Boy, that was a conversation stopper, guys.
Right, Paul. What is your feeling about all this? Have you explored the trickster element, all these? They could be considered peripheral issues, but they might be core issues about the UFO mystery.
The trickster issue is just what I said a moment ago, that I think that makes me think that human intelligence involved in any of them individual cases. However, the maneuvers of the craft would tend to differ. Again, no, you never know, because you read things from Nick Cook about craft that start time and space decades ago, and that's my conflict I have at the moment between Cook's theory and Hastings' theories, because they're both very convincing, they're both very intelligent guys who've done their research, and it's hard to pick between the two, but I do see a conflict there. They haven't actually addressed each other, I don't think, as far as I know.
Paul, just a question that occurs to me here. Do you hope to keep your research armchair? You'll look over the data, or do you want to go out in the field and see what's going on and try to find the evidence directly? Do you want to collect the evidence directly?
No, not at the moment. At the moment, researcher type from home. But I get what you mean. One day, might decide to go out there and do a bit of field work.
Well, that's a good point here. Do you think we need to do any more field work?
That's
or is the information already out there and we just have to collect it and figure it out?
Well, I think that in general, that's what I'm thinking at the moment, is that the accumulated cases on top of one another, I can't see any point. Like you say, there's been so much of that done. So your point's well made. I tend to agree that at the moment doesn't seem to be any point in doing so.
No, I disagree.
I mentioned it to you before. I hadn't thought of that until you mentioned it, you see.
Yeah.
So
We still don't have the quality of hard scientific data that we need to really make a determination. And unless we throw technology and diagnostic technology at the issue, we're going to be doing is looking at anecdotal reports. Occasionally we get lucky and there's radar returns, but that's few and far between, and there's not much you can really learned from just a simple, painting by a radar.
Well, yeah, if there's technology like Chris is saying, then that does change the game. So, but that's not something I considered. It's not something I just heard on this show today.
Okay. Well, there's lots of ways to skin the old proverbial cat in Schrodinger's box, you know. We don't know if the cat's dead or alive, but we're sure going to skin him. That's the way I look at it. My buddy Andrew, who's he's a fellow Brit, he went to Oxford, has a master's in physics and mechanical engineering. He's a very bright guy. He wants to get a surplus Stinger missile and just sit there and just bring one down. He says, oh, that's the way to do it. We'll just got to shoot one down. Then we'll have some wreckage to look at, and maybe we'll be able to gain some scientific, understanding.
Is he serious about that, then?
Sometimes I wonder.
Well, yeah, but then look at the controversy here. Number one is, what's the impact? Would you shoot at them and have them shoot back at you? And there was a book out some years back called Shoot 'Em Down about instances in the 40s and 50s where we possibly fired at a UFO. So if you have this advanced craft with advanced propulsion, weaponry systems, you got to assume if we fire at them, they're perfectly capable of firing back, and we may not like the consequences.
Yeah, but Stephen Greer has told us that these are all benevolent space brothers, and they are not hostile. So they would take it and come down and maybe spank us.
Sure, they'll spank us. Maybe they'll level a few cities. That's a good way to spank us. Oh, you want to fire at us? Okay. Let's just take out New York City. Okay. Los Angeles.
No, I think they'd target the individual with the stinger that fired it. I think that they'd say, okay, you just earned your anal probe.
Paul Bunning is our guest this week. We have one more segment to come with Gene and Chris on
The Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
What kind of probe? Well, this is a family radio show. We will not convey the image any clearer than it already is. Paul Budding about new ufology. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. And we're trying to wrap it up here. So let me ask you an interesting question here. If you discovered that all this UFO stuff was just misidentified conventional objects, as the debunkers have said all along, would you feel disappointed?
Yeah, I think a little bit, but not so much as to feel devastated or like that going west and all of that. Because, well, as far as I can see, there would have been good reason to look into it. I mean, some of the people who have been told, who have told us that there's been UFOs over the missiles, nuclear missile sites in America, are very well qualified to say so. So if it all came out as wrong, I would be thinking, well, I was misled by extremely well-qualified people into thinking that there was something to this phenomenon. So I wouldn't feel embarrassed, because I would still feel I was able to say why it was that I thought what I did. But it would be just a tad disappointment, yeah, if it was just all natural phenomenon, I suppose.
Yeah, but I think that that's an unrealistic question, Gene, because I don't think that there's any possibility of that being true. There's just too much good evidence to support, you know, the contention that there is something flying around in our airspace that we have not identified and that the government knows and that they're, you know, they can't do anything about it. So they're like ostriches sticking their heads in the sand. They just don't want to deal with it. So,
well, the other question I was asking is to get his attitude towards the subject, not so much the reality. I don't think we expect there to be no answer. We expect there's going to be an answer out there, and somehow we have to figure it out. But the other question is, and I'll pose that with you, Paul, which is, what does the government know? What do they really know? Do they know anything, or is it more than just hiding their heads in the sand but just refusing to consider it? They haven't a clue.
I think they know that there's something to the phenomenon. They know that, my view is that Clinton's quotes expressed it quite well. He said, "Sarah, there's a government inside the government and I don't control it." I think that suggests that he's wondering, oh, there's something to this. I'm quite interested. I'm interested in everything, maybe. That's what Hillary Clinton thinks feels like. She thinks that he's interested in everything. But I think they don't want to say, the president can't have a disclosure because he knows what he doesn't know. He knows that he's not aware of of whether are they hostile or not. I mean, it can't be absolutely certain. You might be thinking they're not because they haven't done anything yet. But they've been messing with the nuclear missiles in America, deactivating them apparently, and as I mentioned, the other example I like to give is the Congress lights. You've chased UFOs time and time again. You haven't been able to catch them, so they're superior technologically. So I think that no president can come out and disclose this, because although they might know that there's something going on, they don't know what it is, and they only know that it's superior. So that would be the answer.
And they're probably compartmentalized out of the main loop of the insiders who really know the most, I'm assuming here. Possibly the presidents don't have a need to know some of this stuff. That's why Clinton made the comment that he did, because he doesn't know what is going on. I think most of this information, at least in my opinion, is within the departments of defense, within the aerospace companies, some of your research think tanks, I think, know a lot more than your average president or politician. I don't think that they're classified high enough level to be in the loop.
I'm aware that,
like, you, George Bush.
I feel like we're coming to the need to know point, and I'm aware of that. I'm not, but then that just pushes the question a bit further. These people who know, who don't say anything to the president, it's how much they know. I'm not sure if they have every answer to these questions that you like to, or understandably like to raise.
No, they know a lot more than we do. That's why they're that much more confused.
More confused, therefore, yes.
Well, that would be the other issue here with regard to presidential knowledge or any government leader anywhere. Now, obviously here, you know, the effect wouldn't be as serious, but you have to imagine what's going to happen in a totalitarian government. If there was any evidence that the emperor, the king, whoever, whatever, they weren't told, what are they going to do?
Ooh. Ouch. That would be scary. I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that tantrum.
So the question is, what would a totalitarian leader be?
Sure, yeah. What would Gaddafi do?
That's beyond the knowledge. It's beyond our modern Western culture, I suppose. I'm not quite sure how they think. It's easy to
blame it on the gin.
It's easier to imagine how a British or American prime minister or president would react than it is Libyan president. I would say. It's hard to imagine.
The Chinese. How about the Chinese? I mean, the largest UFO group on the planet is 500,000 people belong to a UFO group in China. The Chinese know a lot more than they're letting on.
There's some societies like North Korea that are so secretive that they sound like a fictional text when you read newspaper articles on them. So I'm not quite sure how they think and how their culture would react, their society would react and so on. But we know from America, for instance, because well, you might argue this because it was a long time ago, but the War of the Worlds message on the radio, was it New Jersey, showed that there was some panic then. And people say, well, maybe we've got more mature now, wouldn't react the same way, but the Milgram experiment has been repeated since, and people say, well, we'd react different now to that, and we haven't. So I'm not sure that too much changes in them regards, so psychological reactions. But I think there's something in the in that, that some people would be panicked by it, those with a conservative mindset psychologically perhaps.
I think people have been programmed by the media and by pop culture enough to I think it's different from when it was back when Orson Welles did that infamous broadcast in 38. But I think kids now, if you ask the average 10 to 15 year old, are there aliens? They go, sure, there are aliens. Lots of aliens, man. Haven't you ever seen Star Wars? Or, you know?
Well, there's some,
bars
of course,
and all
the
different
theory,
types of aliens,
Chris,
hang out and drink weird shots. And
Chris, the theory, of course, is that there are elements in some of those movies to get us ready, like Close Encounters, for example, or E.T., warm and fuzzy E.T.s. Any of these movies have elements to get us acquainted with the concept and the reality that E.T. is there and they're visiting us and they might land soon, because that's the entire issue here. Is disclosure dependent on someone revealing what they know or that force revealing what they are?
I would say it's that force revealing what they are. And also, like I was saying earlier, about people, respectful scientists getting into the field, making it more conformist, familiar, easy to accept, more mainstream. And then I think people start to accept, but this sounds a heck of a lot more simple just to say it than it actually happening now. I don't expect that to happen overnight.
So disclosure could be a decades-long process. Paul Budding, tell our listeners where they can find more of the things you do.
So I've got a DocStock website. Do you mean to give addresses over the radio?
Give a web address, yes.
Ah, right. It's http://www.docstock.com/profile/Paul Buds. That's BUDDS.
What about the UFOinstitute.org?
Make sure I get it right. You don't get one letter wrong.
All right. Well, the UFOinstitute.org, isn't that a good place to find what you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just go for UFOinstitute.org. And by the way, we have a link over at theparacast.com so our listeners can find it and they can get a hold of the information about you, your blogs, your work, everything else. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I'll be at the MUFON International Symposium in Irvine, California this weekend. So if you're there, grab me and say hello if you're in the neighborhood. Also, I have a website, ourstrangeplanet.com. And you can find me lurking around at forum.theparacast.com. And I want to thank Paul for being on the show. And we look forward to more papers from you, Paul.
Oh, sure, yes. I'm trying to write one very soon. I haven't decided exactly what on, but maybe it will come from some of the issues raised in this interview.
Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand this.